Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is where we're going to be. It's just one verse. If you'll stand with me, we'll read this out loud together. I have obviously preached out of this before. You've heard many messages out of it before. Some of these points that I'm going to be making tonight, they might seem like repeat points, but I think that about once a year, it's important to look at this as a reminder. I feel like the Lord has led that way. I didn't plan it that way, but I feel like this is what God has done. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, if you'll read it out loud with me. In verse 13, ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I want to take it in context. All right, that's a familiar verse. We know it well. But considering the verses that are around it, when you think about it, what it says, Paul is talking, he's writing from prison, and he is wanting us to understand that even through difficulty and difficult situations, he's commending the Philippians for the way they serve the Lord and the way they've given, and he's thanking them for how they gave to him. But he's saying, even in prison, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's saying, in our difficulties, that's what we can do. Sometimes God allows challenges in our lives. We doubt whether or not we're capable of doing what God asks us to do. We look at obstacles and we look at difficulties we face. We don't see how they can be overcome. But what we fail to see is this. We fail to see that we weren't meant to face our challenges or overcome them in our own strength. God gives us the power to do these things. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the power that you give. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God who helps us. So Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look at your word. Familiar passage. Lord, I don't want the familiarity of it to take away from what we need to hear tonight from the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, would you open our hearts? Thank you for everyone who's here. I love our church family and thankful for them, each one of them. And Lord, we need each other. And we need your word. And we need you. And Lord, I pray you'd work and meet needs tonight. Just say, amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. As Christians, we have a friend that is a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm thankful for all the blessings we talked about this morning. Some of the blessings that come with salvation. We talked about some of the wonderful things that we get to experience because we're saved. I'm thankful for that. If you know Jesus, you have blessings. Whether we want to acknowledge that or not, whether we want to recognize that or not, we have blessings. Let me talk about some of those blessings as a Christian. If you know Jesus tonight, if you're saved tonight, say amen. Well, you have a friend that possesses characteristics worth mentioning. One, he's trustworthy. You believe that tonight? He's dependable. He's faithful. He's true. That friend is Jesus Christ. And in addition to him being your Savior, he desires to be your best friend. This morning's Sunday School Hour was all about our relationship with Jesus Christ being the foundation upon which we build everything else in our lives. And again, we can look good on the outside. We can make the building look all pretty and decorated, but the foundation is weak. It's all going to be destroyed. It's going to fall apart. And if you don't build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen. Proverbs 18:24, I just quoted part of it a minute ago. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Go to John 15, if you would. John 15:15, please. Save your place in Philippians chapter 4. John 15. Verse Verse 15, the Bible says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. We talked about this last week. But I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Two qualities that are awesome in a friend, is one of them is dependability. Let's put it this way. Something you can depend on, I should put it this way, something you can depend on regarding a couple qualities of friends is it'd be nice if your friend was helpful, right? I mean, if they're not helpful, what kind of a friend are they? Okay, if they don't cheer you up, if they don't help you in life, if you had a flat tire and they wouldn't come over and help you, that's no friend. I learned that Brother Shad, whether he wants to admit it or not, whether he wants to acknowledge it or not, he won't, by the way. But I learned that with Brother Shad, he's my friend. You say, no, he's not. He said, no, I'm not. He's my friend. And I'll tell you why he's my friend. I was on post and I was golfing and I got in my truck and I got locked out of my truck and I couldn't get into my truck. And I have the code on the driver's side door. You put in the code and you know, keyless entry. Well, there was something else going on in my truck. It needed jumped or something. I must have left a light on in the inside or whatever. And so I couldn't get in my truck that way either. And so I called Brother Shad because I knew he had access to post. And lo and behold, he comes out. I mean, he's there quick. And he's trying to help me get in this thing. And we couldn't get in. And finally, we got the hood popped so we could put jumper cables on the battery so we could have power to the truck so I could push unlock so I could get in and get the key. And then we could start it. And we got that figured out. I learned he went away that night. Brother Shad really is my friend. That's amazing. He just likes to help people. What I didn't say in that story was I went golfing with Josiah. And so I really think he came out because he likes Josiah. And it had nothing to do with me. But anyways, listen, you have friends. They're going to be helpful to you. And then another chief quality of a friend would be trustworthiness. If you can't trust your friend, are they really a friend? It's always great to know, as a Christian, that you have a friend that you can call on for help at any time of the day or night. You do. A true friend helps without expecting anything in return. I hope you understand when I just made that statement, I wasn't talking about a friend on this earth. I was talking about Jesus Christ. You have a friend that you can call on any time or day of the night. And your friend, Jesus, he doesn't get upset when you're in need of help. In addition to this, great friends simply keep their promises. You can rely on them to do what they said they would do. Your friend, Jesus Christ, can be relied on. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. You can trust him. God possesses these qualities. God's always there to help you in any situation you face. He watches over you. Think about God. He stands ready to come alongside of you to give you strength. He has given you several promises in the Bible to tell you what he desires to do for you. One of those most practical, helpful, encouraging promises is in our text in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What are you going through tonight that you would say, I can't do this? Don't answer out loud. What are you going through tonight that you would say, this is hard, this is difficult? What's going on with the kids? What's going on with their spouse? What's going on in your family? What's going on in church? What's going on at your workplace? This is just hard. Pastor, this is difficult. This is challenging. This is a very practical message tonight. And just right there on the bottom shelf, right where we can reach it, something that I think just is a good reminder for all of us that we need to get. It's really basically based on this one verse right here. This is not a preaching that looks for the as I've mentioned before, the central idea of the text going on around it. This is just focusing on this one verse. This goes against everything we've been taught at Bible college, Brother Hunter. And that's okay. I don't mind that at all. It's a transforming thought. That Christ gives us the power we need for any testing. That is a transforming thought. That Jesus gives you the power you need for any temptation or any challenge we'll face in our life. How many of you have friends that are no longer your friends? Okay? How many of you have friends that didn't used to be your friends? Okay? How many of you were a friend to somebody and for some reason you're the one that stopped being the friend? Shame on you. Okay? Oh, some of you are like, I'm the best friend there is. How many of you would say that you have friends? You would say they're still my friends. I don't talk to them. We don't Facebook each other or whatever that's called, you know, and we're not on Instagram with each other. We don't Snapchat. We don't do those things. We don't text. I haven't seen them in 20 years, but I know if I saw them, there'd be hugs, there'd be happiness, there'd be smiles, high fives, whatever. Anybody like that? Yeah. Absolutely. How many of you would say there's some people that I don't want to see ever again? Okay. Don't talk about me like that. You have a forever friend. His name is Jesus Christ. He's faithful to bring you through anything. Can I say this? Jesus is faithful to bring you through anything he brings you to. One word or phrase at a time in this. I've done this before. I love it, so I'm doing it again. And it's helpful. I. Make it personal. I. It's a very personal verse with a promise for you specifically. If you were the only one on the face of the earth, it would be a personal verse for you. It's like when my wife wrote me love letters before we were married. That was personal. She doesn't do it anymore. That was personal. It meant something. That was for me. That was something that I loved. I still have them. And they're in this, my wife has this memory box, and so I guess technically she still has them because she's the one that did that, but, you know, I can take the credit for it. And, they mean something. We had, about a year and a half ago, we got into this box and we started pulling things out from 22, 23, 24 years ago, looking at pictures. First of all, I had hair, I was skinny. And then, you know, she looks the same, just beautiful as always. Oh, she's not up here. I'm not scoring any bonus points by saying that. It's true though. But then, you know, just looking at the memories of those things, and we enjoyed doing that. That's personal to us. That was something that meant something to me, meant something to her. Jesus had a purpose in inspiring Paul to write this promise, to communicate something to those who would read it. The recipients, yes, they were the people in Philippi, but the recipients, those who are able to read it today, that's us. That's you and that's me. We are the ones Jesus was wanting to tell us that we can do anything through him. The promise from God is meant for you personally. The purpose is for us to see that we can do all things through Jesus, which strengthens us. And when we fail to experience victory in our lives, if we fail to experience victory in our spiritual battles, it is because we are not making the promises of God personal to us. Too often we read the Bible, but we don't claim the promises of the Bible as our own. As God's children, we shouldn't read the Bible and rush through it as if it's a waste of time, rush past or think that we're the exception to the promise or think that it doesn't apply to us. We shouldn't just do that. You wouldn't do that. You didn't do that with the love letters that you got from the person who for some reason loved you. No, you read every detail. All the quirky stuff, all the cute stuff, all the intelligent stuff, all the ladies read all the dumb stuff the men wrote. Right? You loved it. That's the man you fell in love with. That's the woman you fell in love with. Every detail mattered to you. We understand, listen, the Bible is God's love letter to you. Make it personal. You read through Philippians 4:13 several times. But replace the word I with your name. Put your name in that spot. Make it your own. So, number one is the person. I'm sorry. Number one is it's personal. Number two is the possibility. I can. But one single word. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Sometimes we're like little kids. I can't. Yes, you can, Josiah. Yes, you can. Josiah is my son. You did it. No, I think you did. Sometimes we say, I can't do that. But God says here that we can. And it shows us the possibility. How often do we fail to follow through on decisions we make? How many of you have made, I already know the answer, so you don't have to raise your hand. How often have we made decisions that we failed to follow through? How often have we made decisions for the Lord that we failed to follow through on? From this verse, we can see all the potential we need to do all things through Christ. And all the potential is right here. The reason we don't do what we should do is not because we can't. It's because we won't. It's because we won't. We may feel like we can't have victory over certain struggles. I don't know your struggles today. But struggles are struggles. And they're not too difficult for God. It might be your thought life. It might be jealousy. It might be bitterness. It might be discontentment. It might be pride. You might feel like whatever it is has such a stronghold on you that you cannot have victory. It might be anger. I've just always been this way. It's how I was raised, or it's the whatever in me. I've heard a lot of people say it's the German in me, or it's the whatever. Yet according to this verse, you can have victory over all these things. I use that because that is what I would hear in my family. It's the German in us. You're like, well, I got some French in me too, so I'm going to get over it. I'm not going to get mad like that. No, here's the deal. Whatever it is in you, whatever excuse in us that we use, you got to also remember you have Christ in you. You have Christ in you. And so you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So when you don't see spiritual victory, it's not because you can't, it's because you won't. You won't allow the Lord to rule over you. You won't allow God to make your decisions. You won't allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and empty you of pride. You won't give your bitterness to the Lord. You won't give your pain to the Lord. You won't allow Him to use your hurt to make you better. I believe God can help us to overcome. He can help us to do all things. He can give the strength that we need when we don't have the strength. He can give it to us. And it's because... If we don't get it, it's because we won't accept it. So number one, it's personal. Number two, the possibility. Look at number three here, the word do. It's not enough to know the truth. You have to do your part by following the truth. I think about the people in the Old Testament, the Old Testament heroes. We talked about this morning. The Veterans Day message that we preached about, those mighty men of valor that David had, those veterans, those soldiers that he had. And then I think about the other great men of God in the Old Testament, these heroes that lived, that accomplished wonderful things for God. They didn't have Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 yet. I mean, we know that. The New Testament wasn't written yet. They didn't have this verse back then. But they did have a... They did grasp and apply the principle of this verse. Like, think about Noah before the flood. All right? The earth had never seen rain, and God told him that water was going to come from the sky and flood the whole earth, and God told him to build a giant ark and put all these animals, himself and his family, and all the animal species in there. So for 120 years, Noah built this giant boat so that he and his sons and his family could be saved from a type of storm the world had never seen, that he had never seen. People mocked him. People made fun of him. They rejected his pleas to join them. Other than his family, he didn't have support or encouragement from anyone else. So what kept Noah from quitting? What kept Noah going? God had told him to build an ark. Noah knew he could do it because God wouldn't tell him to do something he couldn't do. Now, I hope you got the practical application right there through all that. God wouldn't ask you to do something you can't do. Joshua, spiritual leader of Israel, had died. Moses had died, and now Joshua is the leader of Israel. Joshua now had shoes to fill. Throughout his time as a leader, he faced the walls of Jericho, the enemies of Canaan, the complaints of the Israelites. He could have easily looked at how difficult his task was, and he could have chosen to quit, but he didn't quit. I mean, think about how ridiculous it is. It sounds. Think about how ridiculous it sounds for God to tell Joshua and the armies of Israel, I'm going to give you a victory, so here's what you got to do. March around the city for 7 days and just don't say a word. Just be quiet the whole time. March around the city once on the first day, once on the second day, once on the third day, once on the fourth day. For 7 days, do this. And on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, no noises whatsoever. Now, I will tell you this. If I was within the city walls and I saw an army march around my city making no noise whatsoever, that'd be a little creepy. That'd be kind of scary. And then on the seventh day, they march around 7 times. That'd be even a little more creepy. So I probably had an intimidation factor to it as well. But then they were to shout and blow trumpets. And then all of a sudden the walls came down and crumbled. Now, it took faith for Joshua and his men to do that. It took faith to follow such a ridiculous command. Has there ever been anything that God has given you that you would say this is ridiculous? How about maybe God gave it to you through another authority? Maybe through an employer. Maybe through your parents. You just don't agree. You just say this is going to take faith to follow. Yeah, it might, but follow. It might, but obey. Change your heart and your attitude about what it is that God would have you to do. So teenagers, listen, say, I don't agree with my parents. Well, God gave you your parents, and you're obeying God by obeying them. And so by disobeying your parents, you're disobeying God, whether or not you agree with your parents or not, especially if you have parents that want to honor God. And then when we are the same way with our authority as citizens of the United States of America. Listen, I believe we ought to obey God rather than men. Can I hear an amen on that? It's when they contradict. But if they don't contradict, I'm to obey the authority over me. Romans 13 tells us to. And so we're honoring God by walking in faith in that way. There might be some things that you just might, I'm just trying to think of some things that you would say, this is just hard to do, hard to obey. But the Bible says, I can do. We could go on. We could talk about Solomon, the massive task of building a temple. We could talk about Hosea. Wow. This guy was asked to marry, by God, to marry a harlot. And her name was Gomer. And each time Gomer was unfaithful, Hosea chose to remain faithful to God by staying with her. See, what was the point of that? The point of that was this. He personified the love of God as he showed unconditional love to Gomer. That, listen, that's exactly what God has done with us. Because you and I, when we sin against the Lord, we've committed what the Bible calls spiritual adultery. And God remains faithful to us regardless. So the story of Hosea and Gomer is actually a beautiful story, a beautiful picture of God being good to us, even though sometimes we're not good to him. No doubt it was hard for him. No doubt he was hurt many times, but because he knew he was doing what God wanted, he had faith. Man, that, I mean, he would have, I'm sure he would have liked to have had the verse, Philippians 4:13, back then. He didn't have it, but I'm sure he would have liked to have that to depend on. This is hard, God. I'm married to a harlot. And I'm sure he would have liked to have been able to quote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But obviously he believed it, whether or not he had the verse. Number four is, so we just talked about the practice. That was number three. Number four, the perspective. The perspective. So what do you mean perspective? The perspective surrounding this verse is found in the phrase, all things. I can do how many things? All things. Now look at the verses preceding Philippians 4:13. Look at verse 10. So we are going to get a little context here. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know what it's like to be low. And I know how to abound. I've experienced that as well. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul realized that even though he was in a filthy prison cell in Rome, he could still do God's will. He could still do all things through Christ. He could have sat in prison and felt sorry for himself. Instead, he rejoiced in the Lord. And he wrote letters to the people in Ephesus. He wrote a letter to the people in Philippi. He wrote a letter to people in Colossae. And, you know, Philippians, it's called the joy book, the book of joy. This guy's in prison writing a book about joy and how to rejoice. Don't answer out loud, but how many of you feel like you're in a prison of your own circumstances? Sometimes you feel trapped. You don't like it. You don't know what to do about it. Burdens seem insurmountable. If that's what you're going through, or if that's what you've experienced, you've got to remember the perspective or the extent of God's promise. In all things, he will strengthen and help you. But there's a limitation too. There is a limitation to this verse. First of all, this doesn't just apply to everybody in the world. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. That means all things are going to work together for good. There's a prerequisite there. You have to be a child of God. You have to be saved. You can say, God loves everybody. It's all going to work out. It's all going to be good. It's all good. No, it's not all good. No, you got to be a child of God. You got to be born again. In other words, what I'm saying is you got to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And if you don't know for sure that you're saved, if you do not know for sure that you were to die today, that heaven would be your home, that's the most important thing that should matter to you right now. You need to get that settled first before anything else. I know you have other problems, financial problems, health problems, relationship problems. I know. But the biggest problem you have is your eternal destiny. And you need to get that settled. If you don't know for sure, heaven is your home. But as a Christian, then yes, the verse then can you qualify for that verse. But it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. So if I'm a Christian, but I'm not living for the Lord, I'm not living in a way that shows that I love Him, then the verse doesn't apply to me either. It's not just automatic. Okay? Something bad happens. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to do anything for God. I don't want to show that I love Him. I just want to live my life the way I want to live my life, and I expect God to make everything work out for me? No. No, that's not going to happen. See, if you love God, you'll want to honor Him and live your life for Him. And so Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The first limitation is that, well, you got to be saved. Then the first is the will of God. The second is the will of God. See, I can't do all things apart from the will of God. How many of you have ever dreamed that, man, I would love to be able to fly? Come on, let's see your hands. I'd like to be able to fly. We got people who lack imagination in this room. Let me tell you. How about walk on water? Anybody think that would be cool? Okay, there we go. Yeah. Or you know, faster than a locomotive, you know, or jump over tall buildings. Yeah, I can do those things. But most people can't. And so, but no, there's certain things that we might wish we could do that we're not going to be able to do because it doesn't fall within the will of God. So practically and realistically and seriously speaking here, I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me as long as it falls within God's will. If it doesn't fall within God's will, then no. God's not gonna bless a job if that job doesn't honor Him. Look, if I go get a job at a place like a bar or whatever, that I mean, I'm just my job is to make people drunk. I don't think God's gonna honor that. Okay, God's not going to honor something. God, I want you to honor my finances, but I'm using my finances to just blowing it on things that are sin. No, He's not going to honor my finances that way. That doesn't make sense. Give me money so I can watch things that I shouldn't be watching. God, I need more money so I can spend it on stuff that it doesn't please Him. You get the idea. I know it's very simple, but now just apply that to any other area of your life, and you want God to help you, but you've got to be sure that these are things that are within God's will. If it seems that God has given you something too great for you to do, I want you to understand that if it's within His will, He'll equip you to do it. If it seems like God has given you something that's too great for you to do, if it's within God's will, He'll equip you to do it. I love the promises, Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Aren't you thankful for that promise? Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and see horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the only other limitation in this verse is our lack of faith. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, but it's going to take faith. One reason you might not see this verse fulfilled in your life is maybe because you don't really believe God will do His part. You wouldn't say that out loud, I'm sure. But maybe we would think God's strength isn't enough for our problems. Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Actually, turn there if you would, please. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. You know Hebrews 11:6, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want to please God tonight, say amen. It requires faith. Matthew 17:20 says this, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what's your perspective today? Are you burdened with a load of care? Are you troubled with a lot? Is there a lot going on? Is it difficult? Are you struggling to pay the bills? Are you struggling to finish your to-do list? It gets so bad sometimes you just have no motivation for anything. You have no motivation to even get dinner on the table. You have no motivation to pick up your stuff. You have no motivation to do anything but go to work, come home, sit around, go to sleep, get up, go to work, and no motivation for anything else. I want you to remember that you can do all things. And if it's God's will, and if you demonstrate great faith, you can succeed in this. So then I want you to notice our resource. Sorry, we don't have a P for this one. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. That's our supply. There's a P kind of in the middle of the word, right? Supply. The power of this verse is through Jesus Christ. If Christ is not a part of your life, this verse can't apply to you. It's through Jesus. I just mentioned it. But if there's never been a time where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't wait another day. Make today the day of salvation. But those of you who are saved, you have an amazing resource available to you. You've got to recognize God's power is not an it or a thing. It's a person, and that's Jesus Christ. When you face a trial, rather than ask God to take it away, ask God to help you through it. You weren't meant to bear your trial on your own. But you were designed to depend on God as you go through your trial. Go to Matthew 11, please, in your Bibles. Matthew 11, we're almost done. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I wrote this down a long time ago. God doesn't send trials without having a specific plan. Did you know, we mentioned it a little bit in a different way this morning. Did you know that it's through trials you see how weak you are, but it's through trials you see how strong God is. And if you ask God just to take all of your troubles away, then you're denying yourself of the privilege of seeing God do something great. I mentioned the other day that Levi passed me up. He's taller than me. And I'm still a little bitter about this. So he called me short stuff. So I arm wrestled him. He called me small stuff. So I arm wrestled him. And I said, who's small stuff now? Then I arm wrestled Autumn and Levi at the same time. And Levi put his hand there, you know, with me. And then Autumn got on the other side, and she's pushing against Levi's hand. And it was a struggle, but I put them both down. I was proud of myself, and I went around the corner, and I kind of went, oh, that hurt. My wrist kind of went, ugh. They almost had me. It was close. They almost had me. It was very close. Josiah loved it. He still thinks I'm like the strongest guy on the face of it. He told me 2 days ago, he's 7, he should know better than this, but he told me 2 days ago, he said, Dad, you're the strongest man ever. I said, Josiah, no, I'm not. there's a lot of people stronger than me. There's people in our church stronger than me. He goes, no, there's not, Dad. He's mad about it. No, there's not. You're the strongest. And I'm like, I like what he said. Amen. All right. Thank you. I love that, you know. But he used some reasoning. His reasoning didn't make sense to me. I can't even explain to you, articulate what he said. But he's talking about something he couldn't do, but I can do it really easily. And I knew I was going to be preaching on this, and I was thinking about, wow, you know, there's a lot of things we can't do. But we've got to have that childlike faith in God and realize, God, you can do anything. You can do anything. You're God. And it is true. There is no one stronger. There is no one greater. There is no one more powerful than the God that you serve. And so, oh, that's what it was. He couldn't do something, but I helped him do it. And so the verse that applies to us as Christians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a promise that is. It's an awesome promise. And that's the last point. It's a promise. It's found in that phrase, which strengtheneth me. When you recognize your need for his help and you want to access that, you want to access his goodness and his mercy, how are you supposed to claim that? I believe that's true, but how does that then make effect in my life? How can I claim this promise? How can I do this? You got to, first of all, desire him. What do you desire in life? What is it that you find yourself desiring? What is it that you constantly think about? Job opportunity, relationship, finances, money, a different place, location. There's things that tug at our hearts and that we desire. And I'm not saying those things are bad. They're not bad in and of themselves. But we've got to remember that God wants to be your chief desire. God doesn't deserve to share a place with another desire of your heart. He deserves to be the center of those things by which he is in control. He wants to give you your finances. He wants to strengthen the relationship. He wants to put you where God wants you to be so he can use you, and on and on. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. So how do I claim this? Desire him. Put your faith in him as well. I've said this before. If you can trust Jesus with your eternal destination, can't you trust him with your everyday steps? Psalm 25. You go read Psalm 25, and you find that the psalmist is talking, and we'll be in that in five messages, hopefully, in Psalm series, whenever that happens. But you can trust God with your eternal destiny. You can trust him with your everyday steps. He's God. He's all-powerful. You can trust him. Sometimes when what we see doesn't look hopeful, we begin to doubt God. Do you believe God's capable of saving you from hell? Say amen. Well, then he is fully capable of using whatever you may be going through for his ultimate purpose. You can trust him. I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when we took up the offering. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then the last way that you get this promise is you hold to him. Hold to him. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. He has a purpose for you. You're his child. He loves you. He loves you. He knows what's best for you. He'll never let you down. So hold to him. Cling to him. Trust him. Rest in him. The attributes we talked about at the beginning of a friend: trustworthiness, helpfulness. Obviously, Christ is those attributes. But a great friend, and a great friend on this earth, the best friend that you have on this earth is one that would push you closer to Christ. And a great friend will edify and encourage you. And Jesus Christ will be that friend when you're facing things that are difficult to face.